Blog Talk Radio.
Coming here every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock to talk to you all out there. There's over 10,000 of you now, according to my latest statistics from Block Talk Radio. I want to thank you all because you sure gave me this bad habit of coming here every Tuesday night to give you some ideas and talk from the Fat Left-Hander. You can reach me at 347-945-6713. That's 347-945-6713. You can Skype me. You can instant message me, although I don't go on instant message anymore. You can Facebook me. But mostly you can come to the chat room here at Block Talk Radio if you don't want to get on with me live. Sometime later tonight, the cult will be here. The cult comes every week now and sits in with Normie, Cult de Raison. I've had some real interesting fan reaction to the cult. The cult and I have known each other for, going on for almost 40 years now. I guess I was 19, and I'm going to be 60. I was 19 or 20 when I met the cult. We were old backgammon players, chess players, lots of different things. Good friends. Good friends disappeared for a while. Cult went out and drew some newspaper cartoons. Lives out there on the West Coast, brings the other side of the country to me. I'm living here down below the Mason-Dixon line, a Yankee turned into a Southerner, some people say. Maybe. I don't know. Interesting thing. I guess when I was a little kid, the Confederates were my heroes. And as I grew older, they weren't so heroic to me anymore. But that's a subject for another day. I'm sure, at least I hope, anybody that's listening to me here now was listening to the President of the United States as he gave a speech today from the Oval Office, or from wherever President Bush gave the speech when he started the illegal war. Yes, I think the war was illegal. Yes, I do. I think the president committed a criminal act when he ordered those armed forces to invade that country without a declaration of war. Yes, I believe that. And you all should, too. You know, everybody always, the Constitution this, the Constitution that. It's written right in the Constitution. The Congress shall declare war. Not the President. He's the Commander-in-Chief of the Army. He's not the declarer of war. He is the executor of war. But that's a whole... And you want to take issue with that, give me a call, 347-945-6713, or come into the chat room. And let me see, maybe I got somebody in the chat room now. Hey, the cult has just arrived. Welcome to the cult. Yeah, and I got another longtime friend of the show here in the chat room, and as he generally adds his pithy remark, then sure enough, I'll be sure to forward them to you. And the cult will spend his usual time in the chat room, and then I'm sure he'll come to the switchboard. Right now, we got five lines open, 347-945-6713. And I just like to put a little something in the back of people's minds. Long-time listener of the show, long-time friend of Norm, actually participant in the show for a long time, is thinking real seriously about putting a new adventure together. And in the wilds of Alaska, the Outdoor Academy, as more details become available to you all out there, if you want to spend a couple weeks in the summertime in a safe, sane, controlled situation in the actual Alaskan wild in Talkeetna, but nothing is final and official yet, but it's going to be happening. I can feel it, and I am really looking forward to doing some Normat nights from Alaska. And if my bud puts his Alaskan adventure together, I promise you we will do some Normat nights from the land of the midnight sun. I'll take the show on an Alaska adventure. The Palin country. I want to go back to the president, but I just want to relate some things to you. I almost went down to the rally that Glenn Beck put on just to see what was going on, and instead I watched it on my computer. But my wife wanted to go down to the rally because she likes Sarah Palin. My wife is an intelligent woman. She's a college graduate. Well, so was Sarah Palin. And, you know, Sarah Palin was also governor of Alaska. I'm not even governor of my own world. But anyway, I listened to the Beck rally. And something really, really disturbed me about listening to the rally. And that's why guys like Glenn Beck can be really dangerous, because they don't say anything, and yet I found myself listening to him. I found myself listening to the platitudes. Talkeetna, Alaska, I just got a chat room message. So Talkeetna, Alaska, and yes, I will be coming out to help build a cabin. And yeah, I can still swing a hammer. You know, maybe saw a board, as long as the saw is electric. No, and yes, without any question, I will be doing extended broadcasts from Alaska. Somehow we'll figure out how to produce the electric power that we need for the show. Hey, old Colt says he's starting to get a little worried that he's so predictable. Well, one thing when you want to talk about predictable, you can always count on. If it's Tuesday, it's Norm at night. Hey, I got five lines open. You can jump in, 347-945-6713. Doesn't look like we have any technical problems tonight. I got my coffee. Everything seems to be in the groove. You know, that really would be fun to go out to Alaska. You know, it's not exactly on my bucket list, but, you know, you gotta live life. You just gotta live life. And I'm having a tough day today for a lot of different reasons. But I don't know how many of you all know out there, and I'm not bragging or anything like that, because I'm not ashamed of my military service, but I sure don't hit anybody over the head with it. Yeah, I was an officer in the United States Navy. The only thing that disturbs me is when I run into people, you know, who never served a day. And they're all gung-ho and running around, and, you know, you would think they're G.I. Joe himself. And, no, nobody ever shot at me. Nobody ever shot at me. But I went. I was in. I didn't talk about it. I did it. I think every citizen should do it, because the more citizens we have in the Army all the time, the less likely we are to spend the last 7.5 years like we spent them. You know, I've known some students who become Marine officers, Army officers, and, you know, went and fought. I went in the Navy. I was in aviation training. I didn't know the war was going to end. The Vietnam War I'm talking about. People were going to shoot at me. Or so I thought. Those Marine DIs scared me half to death. It was an experience. I got lucky. The war ended. I got out. My obligation was removed. But I'm not a wannabe. I was a was. Now, I don't know if you get to be a was, if you were a was, I don't know if you get, if that gives you some right to be anti-war. It obviously didn't give Senator Kerry any right to do it. He got his butt blown off. He got shot at. He won medals. People, because they didn't like his politics, and because he didn't like the war he won the medals in, people tried to say he didn't win them. Well, the poor guy, I don't remember if it was North Carolina or South Carolina. The guy running for the Senate, he lost arms and legs. And they trashed him, called him a coward. All wannabes. All wannabes. All the neocons, how many days did any of them serve? How many days? And then we all kowtow to them. Yeah, I'm going to take the subject back to Vietnam, excuse me, back to Iraq. The president said a very interesting thing tonight when he's talking about Iraq. I'm sorry, it was the senator from Alabama. thank you for correcting me, chat room. I really appreciate if somebody can give me the guy's name. I can't remember it. Here's a real interesting thing. This is, we don't even understand the very basics of war, says a chat room customer. Sun Tzu, I always say his name wrong. Sun Tzu says that when you make the decision to go to war, to get it over as quickly as possible, for it will drain your resources and your nation's spirit. And remember, when you start making heroes out of all these people, Adolf Hitler was a war hero. He won an Iron Cross, second class. He was a war hero. War does things to people. It changes them as human beings. And I thank God every day I never had to kill anybody. And nobody tried to kill me. I have a nephew who's in Afghanistan now. And every day I wonder, what's he going to come back like? So another person says that Hitler captured three Brits all by himself. Well, I know he was gassed. Somebody else says, wow, how heroic, capturing three Brits. Yeah. But he won his nation's highest military award. Unless I'm wrong, the Iron Cross was the highest German decoration. If somebody out there knows that's not true, let me know. It might have only been second class, but nonetheless, it was an Iron Cross. That Maltese cross had hung between most high-ranking German officers' collars. Somebody says Glenn Beck spent 20 years gassed. Let me go back to the chat room and see, I'm sorry, the switchboard. Hey, still got 5 lines open. Let's talk about war and what war does to people. You know, we go to war in Iraq, 7.5 years, longest war in the country's history. Although, I'm not sure the insurgency in the Philippines, but I guess you don't count that as a war. I don't know. The insurgency in the Philippines went on for a long time. In fact, it's still not 100% over. You can trace the current... There's still some insurgents in the jungle. You can trace them all the way back to the American occupation after the Spanish-American War. But let's talk about war. What is so glorious about it? Why do we have to do it? What does this do for us? You know, I'm not going to say, like, when those airplanes flew into those freaking towers, that I wasn't all gung-ho, ready to go back in, and we just wanted them to blow Afghanistan, the smithereens, and those Taliban guys. And you know what? Then somebody told me the airplanes... full of Saudis, we invade Iraq. I don't understand. Well, they're just fanatics attack us. We invade the most secular country in the Middle East. except maybe for Egypt. The Iraqis, they were on our side when they were killing Iranians. Heck, we gave them weapons of mass destruction to kill Iranians, then it was okay. We gave them Stingers and other kinds of missiles to kill Russians. The Afghans were our buddies when they were killing Russians. Suddenly we're on the other end. I don't understand. Let's just hope there's not a Charlie Wilson in some other country to start giving the Taliban weapons to fight us. Hey, guess what, folks? 50 Americans were killed in Afghanistan in August, the bloodiest month since we've been there. 50. Astounding. Anti-insurgency. Imagine if instead of invading Iraq, we'd have sent 100,000 troops to Afghanistan. Right from the beginning. You think we might have Osama bin Laden? Who would we rather have, Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden? Of course we'd rather have Osama bin Laden. Who did we get? Saddam Hussein. You can give me a call, 410. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, 347-945-6713. I got a bunch of lines open. I guess I'm on a big rant here as I approach the halfway point in the show. I actually have a book about things to talk about. And I've only talked about a few things. Let's talk about the president's speech. But before we do that, 10,226 listeners at last count. Again, thank you for that. President made a speech tonight announcing that all combat operations are over. Why do we still have 50,000 troops there then? They're combat troops. You know, they're not, well, there probably are a ton, but they're not lawyers. They're combat troops. They're combat brigades. Somebody shoot them, they're going to shoot back. So, if the combat's over, why do we have to leave soldiers there? Bring them all home. They never should have gone there in the first place. I don't want to be the guy that has to go tell the next guy to get killed's mother that, well, you know, we're sorry he was killed. Combat operations were over. I don't care if he gets killed by a bullet or he gets run over by a truck. He doesn't need to be there. Let's see what's going on in the chat room. War is like, this just stuns me. War is like Texas Hold'em. Only, yeah, you got this primal urge to go all in. I understand, I guess, what you're trying to say out there, Chatter, but Texas Hold'em, war. Oh, it's the games. You know, on a comment, oh, ever since some chat rumor says, on a combat troops, this has been going on since Clinton says, what's the meaning of is? You're in country, you carry a gun, it's got live ammunition in it, you're a combat troop. And as long as you got to be there with that gun, you're in a combat situation. Why won't this stupid thing allow me to type legit words? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anything anymore. The president's speech tonight. You know, I was so excited about Barack Obama. His speech was nothing but platitudes. It had no flair, no emotion. He was just like a puppet. He's sitting there with his hands folded. Because that's what all the handlers told him to do. I want my president to have some emotion. I want to see the humanity of the man. I don't know why it won't let you type. I would imagine it's got to be your computer because it works pretty fine here. I was going to say, call in, chatter, but I forgot you don't have a phone. But anyway, all the president did was talk platitudes tonight. He said, and this is what I would like to concentrate on. He said, we've spent over $1 trillion in Iraq. $1 trillion. That's a one with 12 zeros after it. Yeah, it's the one after billion. It's $1,000 billion. That's $1 trillion. That's how much money we spent in Iraq. So what did we get for it? Well, unfortunately, we got 4,400 dead guys and women. 4,400 dead men and women. Yeah, you know, I'm starting to agree with you, Chatter. Every day we get more and more platitudes and rhetoric from Barack Obama, the guy who wasn't going to give us platitudes and rhetoric. And that's unfortunate. But we did. We got 4,400 dead bodies, 4,400 flag-draped coffins. And you know what? We put the guys in power that are the same kind of Muslims that the Iranians are. Yeah. How do you like that? And when our peacekeepers or whatever you call them are gone, then what are we going to do? So, oh yes, we're tallying up what we got for our $1 trillion. Hey, I got a caller coming in. Hey, go ahead, call. You're on with me.
Hey, guy, how's it going tonight?
Oh, it's going. I'm sort of, I guess, I'm in rant mode tonight.
Yeah, I've been listening.
But anyway, we got thousands of wounded guys. We got a divided country. I don't care what anybody says. We got a stalled war in Afghanistan. But we ended the war responsibly. Yeah, I guess we got that for $1 trillion. Mm. We started irresponsibly, so I guess we ended it responsibly. And you know what? The guys in charge need to be held responsible.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be held responsible. Yeah, he calls up President Bush, the guy who started this mess, the guy who acted unconstitutionally, in my view. Because to me, it's pretty clear that Congress shall declare war.
Oh, oh, oh.
The president, he's the commander-in-chief. He's the executor of the war. I'll give him that. But he can't declare it. But he
will. Yeah, well,
he did.
There were resolutions passed which, while were not a formal declaration of war,
all these guys, the Constitution and intent. Will you show me in the Constitution where it can even be implied? Implied that the President of the United States can declare war.
Yeah, well,
or
anyway.
You can't pass a resolution to change the Constitution.
Yeah, well, they worked around it. What can you say? I mean, you know and I know the Emergency War Powers Act is only meant for a very limited period of time. And,
well, let's have somebody get some balls
and the president
and
the executive branch
the Supreme Court.
Yeah, but the executive branch has been granted an incredible number of new powers.
Here's the real problem.
And that is a problem, yes.
In order to get the legality of what happened in front of the court, somebody has to put themselves in jeopardy.
Right.
And that's called treason.
Now, these decisions, these congressional acts, whether it's the Patriot Act or whatever, elements of it have been challenged and are being challenged in the courts. But, you know, as for, the authorization to invade in Afghanistan or Iraq, nobody's challenged those. And as long as that remains, then you have this situation. And I don't know who, except for a citizens group of some sort who could challenge it. But who's
Let's see here. Oh, yes, I'm still talking about what we got for our $1 trillion. That's what we got. It's
we
an illegal war. The president who launched it should be arrested.
Well, you got the...
Instead... Barack Obama calls him up so they can commiserate.
Yeah.
Because the press secretary said, you know, he's one of the few people alive that understands the pressure. And you know what Harry Truman said? You can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess that works.
The president has no right to make war without a declaration. And if you got a problem with that, the number's 347-945-6713, and I want to talk to you.
Yeah, well, tell me something.
Tell
me something about Harry Truman. Did he say that to the Japanese?
See, no, he cooked their city.
Well, exactly.
Well... And I have another question. I can go back 7.5 years. Oh, in fact, I'll go back to September 10th, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
I was a whole lot freer then than I am now.
Yeah.
I was a whole lot freer then. So we fought this war. Spent 4,400 lives, $1 trillion to protect our freedom. and now I have less. I don't understand.
And who do you blame for that?
I blame all of us. Because we allowed it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what we allowed.
Am I less free?
We allowed a very small group of people, intellectuals, to grab control of our foreign policy. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
You mean the neocons?
Absolutely.
I think you're being very kind, calling them intellectuals.
Well, you know, I'm talking about people like Bill Kristol and Krautmeyer and the Kagan family. And the Kagan family, I mean, you know, they certainly qualify as intellectuals.
I guess.
But do you realize that these people, the Kagans in particular, are still very much a part, in fact, they are advisors to our military commanders.
Of course they are.
Yes, of course they are. You know, and you look at, you know, Petraeus and McChrystal and a few of the other ones, they're as entrenched in neoconservative doctrine as any of them. They're completely sold on the idea. And they are conducting the war. That's why when I say nothing has changed from Bush to Obama, it's not without evidence. The evidence is all there. Everything that happened...
Why doesn't somebody else give us a call and get in on this conversation? I mean, this is your country, folks. 347-945-6713.
Now, you have a president who opposed the invasion, who essentially ran on a platform of being opposed to the wars and getting them over with and all the rest of that.
And he
But all he did was follow the game plan. There are no changes here.
No, there aren't. No,
I mean,
are
you telling me that we need 50,000 trainers and observers in Iraq?
I don't think we do.
And that's just, and remember, they're just counting about troops on the ground in Iraq. Think of the Navy and air support that's all around that area. It's not just 50,000. It's not just 50,000 troops. Come on now. You know, we're still talking a force, you know, well over 100,000.
You know, I heard on the news that the the Saudis are so afraid of the Iranians that if the Israelis want to bomb them, they'll let the Israelis fly over Saudi Arabia to do it.
Yeah, but that's not convenient. It's not in the path, in other words.
Yeah, it is.
No.
Yeah, it is.
The quickest route? Well, I can see, you know, I don't know what path they're going to take. I mean, you know, who really knows?
You're going to sneak up on them. But anyway, I was just thinking maybe the Israelis could drop a few bombs early.
Oh, good God. Yeah.
That place is a feudal monarchy.
Yeah, well.
The Mullahs are trying to take Iran back.
So tell me, what interest do we have in this? I mean, I know the Israeli interest in bombing Iraq, or Iran, rather. You know, I don't see where we have any interest in facilitating it. I suspect the Iraqis will not allow anyone to fly over their airspace, nor will the Jordanians or the Turks or the Syrians.
Well, maybe that's why they got to go around the bend over Saudi Arabia.
They're going to have to cross somebody's airspace to get there.
Right. Well, I mean, what are they going to...
Yeah, unless...
Nobody needs to bomb the Iranians.
Now, have we supplied Israel with a bunch of tankers so they can keep these jets in the air, or what?
I'm sure we have.
I'm not aware of any, but I they would absolutely have to have them. I mean,
well,
their jets are not going
to
be able...
tankers because they bombed Iraq.
Yeah,
Iraq.
But that was...
That's
you know,
the wrong way.
Right, but it wasn't. It was close enough for them to do it, you know. And even the amount of damage was not all that.
The aircraft had to refuel in the air.
But the amount of damage was not all that significant.
It blew up the reactor.
Well, yeah, but then he just put everything underground.
Yeah, but they didn't have anything.
Well, there was nothing there.
They didn't have anything when we got there.
Yeah, there was not much of anything going on. I mean, it was a project, and it...
Can anybody remember the first reason why we invaded?
Oh, yes, yes,
yes. That war ends, and most people wear underwear.
Mm.
Every day they were changed.
Yeah, well, the WMD thing, you know... I mean, we knew what we sent to them, you know, in the 80s, and we assumed some of that was left over.
He just got madder and madder because the inspectors kept finding nothing. And you know why they kept finding nothing? Because there was nothing there!
Yeah, they apparently used it all up.
And the Iranians! What they had, we gave them. But anyway, I don't want to talk about that. I have another question for all the callers, all the listeners.
Yeah, I know. I'm the only caller.
I'm calling right now, but I wish you would. I got four lines open still, 347-945-6713. Somebody asked me today, and I thought it was a good question. What characteristics should somebody have to run for president?
What characteristic?
Yeah, should somebody have to run for president?
Well, I would say that if he... if he... follows the Constitution to the letter of the law, what would I call that, consistent? I'm thinking of a characteristic. I would like a president like that. I have never seen one.
Yeah, well, just as long as we're talking about Iraqi... WMD, just remember, Rummy was the one who sold it to him.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah,
you know,
well,
here's an interesting thing. Somebody just sent in from the chat room, he should not want to be president.
Yeah, well,
I don't agree with that. See, I think you should want to be president. But not to be president, to do something.
Yeah, well, I would, you know, I mean, they do all swear the oath to uphold, defend, and support the Constitution, and then that's about as far as it goes.
Well,
and it doesn't matter if you're a judge or a senator or what.
They've been pretty good upholders of the Constitution.
Who's that?
They really have.
Oh, bullshit.
The great threat to the Constitution from presidents, well, one was Lincoln, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, there's a lot of distortion that, you know.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
Franklin Roosevelt simply because he was around for so damn long.
Yeah.
Because he is one of my heroes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad he died, or he might have been president forever. I'm not glad he died, but you know what I mean. And then Richard Nixon was really the next one. And the Republic protected itself from Richard Nixon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It did.
Yes.
Got rid of him.
Well, I understand that. I mean, he was involved in...
And then the next great threat to the Republic was probably George W.
And
the reason he was such a threat is not because he was malicious, it's because he was stupid.
Yeah. However, you know, I don't know if you read... what's his name? Goldberg in the Atlantic Monthly. It seems that throughout his administration, Cheney and the neocon group all wanted to bomb Iran. And the only person who stopped them was George Bush.
Something just came up here in the chat room that somebody said that Thomas Jefferson didn't want to be president. He only wanted to keep John Adams from becoming president.
Mm.
I don't think that was true.
Yeah. Well, I have heard that he was a reluctant president, but I've heard that of Washington, too.
He was a reluctant slaveholder, too.
Well, he didn't want...
free him. He didn't free him, because if he did, he would have gone broke.
Yeah, well, those ideas were just starting to gain acceptance. I mean, let's face it. They all knew that the issue of slavery was going to come up in the future. When they formed the government, you know, the guys in the Northeast were obviously, you know, opposed to it, but to get a union, they let that slide, knowing that courts and unfortunately war would decide the issue in the future, and of course that's what happened.
Slavery, the Southerners have had a preponderance of influence in our government.
Yeah,
and it's all because of the compromises in the Constitution.
Well, certainly.
The Southerners ran the government because the Southerners controlled the House of Representatives because the slaves all counted.
Yeah, until the immigrants started coming to the Northeast. And you had more states forming in the Midwest.
Yeah, and but don't forget,
once that started to happen,
as late as the 1850s, the number of slave states and free states was the same.
Yeah, I know they were trying to keep that.
Well, that was the Missouri Compromise. I mean,
yeah,
it's just
right,
1851.
Exactly.
It's just. You can't go around it. It was a clash of two systems of labor, and no one wants to face that.
Right. And I wouldn't say they were equally cruel, but they were both cruel. And I mean, you know, let's face it, if you were an Irish laborer in 1850, it was a pretty bad
situation. Wait a minute. Somebody in the chat room said... that they paid off their war debts after 1783. That actually isn't true. The war debts weren't paid off until Hamilton became Secretary of the Treasury, and that was in 1791. Now, the really interesting thing, most of the bonds issued by the Continental Congress were bought up for pennies on the dollar by... Hamilton and his crew.
And where'd he get the money to pay him off? He raided all the moonshiners in Pennsylvania.
Well, but anyway, I mean, it was a big bond scandal, all right. And, wow. Anyway, let me see if there's anybody. Hey, guess 4339. What do you mean I'm not reading exactly what you're saying there, Chatter?
Oh.
Whoa. He didn't want Adams to be president. And because they paid off their war debts more easily after 1783. They didn't pay off the war debts till 1791. I'm not making that up. Why didn't they pay them off until 1791? Because they didn't have any money. Till 1791, because they couldn't tax anybody.
Right.
All of a sudden, in 1791, they can tax people, so now they can buy the bonds. So let's just go tax all those Revolutionary War soldiers who we bought all the bonds from. Hence those Pennsylvania farmers, among others.
Moonshiners.
So they have all of a sudden, and I'm not saying that Hamilton didn't put the country on a sound financial footing, but it betrayed not the colonial debt independently.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I will talk. I misunderstood you, chat roomer. I know you were talking about continental war debt.
He used military force to do that.
Now, all those guys who brought the Constitution, they owed all kinds of money to England that they didn't have to pay anymore.
That's right.
Because now they were independent.
Yeah,
Virginia and South Carolina were fat cats. Which is the state that made indigo? Was that South Carolina? No, that was South Carolina.
Hmm.
They were thriving. Most of the states were thriving under the Articles of Confederation.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't paying off the war bonds. They wanted a national government. No matter who, they didn't. When they made the Constitution, they weren't fighting over whether there should be a national government or not. What they were fighting over was what form the national government should take.
Yeah.
And all you brilliant thinkers out there, remember, the Bill of Rights was not a bill of individual rights. It was a bill of state rights. And it was to protect the state. And it was only quite recently, actually, that, and it was the pairing up of the 4th and 14th Amendments, which applied most of the rights of the Bill of Rights to the people. I think there are some states where all of the Bill of Rights don't apply. I'm not positive of that, so if anybody wants to crucify me on that, go find the information and give me a call. I would really like that.
We're in the last 5 minutes here. You said earlier
sorry, I didn't hear you.
Okay. You said earlier that you've had some comments by email or whatever on. Are they worth repeating?
I've had some people comment about the cult. They mm-hmm. like the cult.
Oh, there you go.
A good friend I made in my Virginia world He gets a big kick out of the call. He says he can't wait for him to call. Because you never know what's coming out of his mouth.
Oh, okay.
And couldn't believe that I knew the cult for 40 years.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Well, that, yeah, it is pretty amazing, I think.
I was about 20, and now I'm going to be 60 next month.
Yeah, we were in our 20s, and...
Wait, are you 58?
What's this?
You're 58, then.
Yeah, I know how old I am. Well, I'm not 58.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, for some reason, I thought you were, like, you know, like my brother's age, but you're older than him.
Yeah, no, I'll be 58 in a couple of months.
November?
Yeah, yeah.
So
I still got all my hair, and, well, not as much, but...
Hey, anybody, somebody told me to try this.
What's that?
If you want to help Norm at night improve the quality of the show, if you want to send me a dollar, it's not tax deductible, but you can send it to Norm at Night. Oh, I'm not going to give you the address. I got to get a P.O. box. But start saving your dollars.
A dollar. Why don't you get a PayPal account?
You know, I have a PayPal account.
Well,
how do you have somebody pay a PayPal account?
Well, it's a lot easier to send it there, you know.
Right, I know, but how do you do it?
I don't know. I haven't had one. But I know you can get a commercial account with them and people can send you money.
Oh, no, you know, I got 3 minutes remaining. Yeah, I know that, like, if I buy something on eBay or somebody buys something for me, they send the money to my PayPal account.
Mm-hmm, sure. Yeah, I haven't been on eBay in a long, long time.
I'll have to figure that out. I'll have to figure that out.
Yeah.
And you can get your Norm at Night. I'm putting together your Norm at Night listener's kit.
Mm-hmm.
Consists of a left-handed coffee mug, a Norm at Night bumper sticker, and a personal autograph letter from the fat left-hander.
Oh, there's a collectible.
Well, it could be someday.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know.
I'm getting
ready to start a new school year. I'm looking forward. I don't know who's out there listening, but I got all my venting out tonight. I'm going to be, next week, when you come to Norm at Night, I'm going to be the new gentle Norm.
Oh, what did you get, a marijuana prescription?
Hey. It's not legal in Virginia. I don't do drugs.
Yeah, actually, I guess I can tell you, I've been very seriously considering getting one. It's very
really?
Easy. Yeah, it's very easy out here, you know.
Yeah,
and
no.
I qualify across the board, so I wouldn't have any trouble with it. So.
Hey, we got a minute to go, and since nobody called me tonight, I'm going out with the Max song. And I'll see y'all next week. And remember, if it's Tuesday, it's Norm at Night. And remember these words when you're thinking about just listening next week. Norm will see you all.
Why does no one call? Why can't somebody just give me a ring? The stupid telephone is silent like a stone, and I feel all alone. Why does no one call?
Well, dude,
why can't somebody just give me
we'll
a ring? I'm getting the idea, I'm sitting in the clear, cause no one wants me near. How's the ring that everyone I spoke?
Anyway,
thought
have a good
I was telling them
week.
A joke.
Hey,
why does snow.
Somebody in the chat room just called me the Jerry Falwell of constitutional federalism. We're taking this up next week. Norm is out of here.
Okay, very good. Bye-bye.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Take care, man. Good night.
Good night.